Good morning. I'm Pat Thurston. I'm your host, and I'll be with you for this hour and tomorrow. I'll be filling in for Ron tomorrow and today, and then I'll be back on my own shift this weekend. Tune in on Saturdays from 6 to 9 and Sundays from 4 to 7. Right now, I am delighted to introduce you to Russ Baker. Russ Baker is one of my favorite guests. He's the creator, editor, and publisher of the online investigative journalism site WhoWhatWhy.com. He's also an investigative reporter himself, and he's an author. His book, Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years, is a must-read. This book is fantastic. It's also fantastically disturbing. But his website is also most compelling. It does what a lot of journalism forgets to do these days. On his website, the people who write ask questions rather than taking the assertions, especially the assertions of government, at face value. Russ Baker, it's been a while. Thanks for joining us today.
It has been a while. Great to be back. Thank you, Pat.
So you've been covering an awful lot of stuff on WhoWhatWhy.com. Just 2 days ago, you wrote about two members of the Obama administration who are no more. Members of the Obama administration, that is. Tell us about Cass Sunstein and Robert Wolf.
Sure. Now, Sunstein was the sort of information czar. That was kind of the informal title. He was in charge of both regulatory affairs, primarily supposedly supposed to cut the red tape, and he was also in charge of transparency and creating more opportunities for us to know how government works.
That hasn't worked out real well, has it?
No. You know, he's a very interesting character. I had first heard about him because he was a Harvard professor and an old friend of Obama's from back in Chicago. I had first heard about him. You probably know this story, Pat. He had written a paper as a Harvard professor saying that the government had a problem because of things that people were posting on the internet, where people were speculating that they weren't getting the whole story. Of course, the term is used as conspiracy theories, but it really was just people trying to figure out if there was more to the story in big national traumas. And so his suggestion, he said that this was a problem, that people were writing these things, and he proposed that government cognitively infiltrate the internet and actually send agents into chat rooms pretending to be just other ordinary people and sort of try to divert the conversation away from these things.
Oh, brother. And how much did we waste on that?
Well, you know, I mean, it's just they say they didn't ever actually do it. We don't know. But I mean, this is the kind of thinking, not really what you would have expected from a kind of reform administration. So that
one of his directives was transparency. This seems like the opposite of transparency. It seems like underhanded manipulations.
Exactly. And then the other thing he did in terms of regulation is that because he was supposed to create simplicity in government, he actually ended up sort of shilling for big industry on a whole bunch of fronts, trying to basically being on the opposite side of, say, food safety, people who wanted additional labeling and things like that. And so he really kind of antagonized all sorts of people from what you might call Obama's base. If you go to whowhatwhy.com, and you can read about him, you can type his Sunstein, S-U-N-S-T-I-N, into our search box and read about him. In any case, he just very quietly suddenly disappeared from the administration, and almost no attention to it at all. And it's very curious, and we do wonder why, what really goes on in the, you know, in the sort of Kremlinology of the White House. So he's one of these two figures in our article.
Was he replaced?
Somebody else will take that post, but they haven't said who that's going to be.
Okay, so he just mysteriously disappeared.
He just, you know how they always say wants to spend more time with their family?
Right.
Well, he's just going back to Harvard, you know, for some new opportunity.
Wants to spend more time with his Harvard family.
Right.
Okay, and the other guy who has disappeared is Robert Wolf. Tell us about him.
Yeah, so Robert Wolf was the chairman of UBS Americas. Now, UBS, it stood for the Union Bank of Switzerland. It is a sort of, in terms of the lore of, you know, Swiss banking and hiding money, it's kind of certainly famous in that. It's one of the largest banks in the world, and they have branches and brokerages all over the United States. Robert Wolf was the chairman, and he was one of Obama's closest friends and supporters, a big fundraiser for him. Wolf would go actually on vacation with Obama, be up there on Martha's Vineyard, and he'd round out the golfing for some. We were very interested in this because he had enormous access and closeness to the president. Obama also named him to his economic advisors. But what interested me most about Robert Wolf was that UBS Bank was accused of massive tax evasion enabling, that they had enabled billions and billions, untold billions of dollars, possibly as much as $100 billion of tax evasion by wealthy Americans, literally by teaching them how to do illegal things, providing them with shredders and untraceable cell phones. And, I mean, it really was crime.
Hey, hang on. I want to pick up from there, and let's really talk about just what UBS was involved in and then how Wolf was connected to that. Hang on with me. Russ Baker is my guest. You can join us, by the way, at 808810. I'm Pat Thurston in for Ron Owens. You're listening to KGO. It sounds like Hawaii 5-0. Good morning. I'm Pat Thurston. Russ Baker is my guest. His website is whowhatwhy.com. And we've been talking about these mysterious people who have quietly retired or resigned from the Obama administration. And they're people you may not have heard about before, Cass Sunstein and Robert Wolf. And we're talking about Robert Wolf. You were telling us about his association with UBS, the United. Is it UBS or USB? UBS. Bank,
yeah.
Suisse, right. And you were talking about how they were this huge scandal, how they were involved in evading taxes, $100 billion in evaded taxes. So tell us some of the tactics that they used for that.
We actually posted a list. Let me see if I can pull this up. This is actually a list of things they were helping their clients do. Tax haven bank secrecy tricks, code names for clients, pay phones, not business phones, foreign area codes, undeclared accounts, encrypted computers, transfer companies to cover tracks, foreign shell companies, fake charitable trusts, straw man settlers, captive trustees, anonymous wire transfers, disguised business trips, et cetera, counter surveillance. That's criminal. I mean, that's not only criminal, it's like so blatant.
Yeah, and they ended up paying $780 million to avoid prosecution.
As we say, do the math, $780 million against $100 billion. You know, these things are all slaps on the hand. And one wonders, of course, an outfit. Now that thing occurred prior to Obama coming to office. But, of course, this guy was good friends with the incoming president and actually elevated to this position of being an advisor on,
yeah,
you know, what the U.S. government should do about, you know, the deficit. I mean, that's pretty staggering when you think that that's what's causing the deficit.
Yeah, and then UBS also has some involvement in the LIBOR scandal.
Yes, the LIBOR thing is horribly complicated, but basically it involves banks getting favorable rates, artificially reporting false numbers so that they could get artificially low lending rates. UBS is one of a number of banks that's being mentioned in relation to that. In fact, we've just recently learned that the U.S. government prosecutors are trying to turn lower level UBS people so that they will turn over big fish. And so I was struck by that, and I thought, well, that's very interesting. Here we read that Robert Wolf has suddenly resigned as the chairman of UBS right as the federal government is investigating and trying to get to the bigger guys in his bank.
Yeah, yeah. It can't be coincidental here. It sounds like it's damage control. What do you think?
I think that's what it is. And so you see now Cass Sunstein, close friend of Obama's, will continue to help Obama with his reelection, but he's resigned from the administration. So those who were unhappy with what he did, which are consumer groups, environmental groups, and so on, the Obama people can say, look, you know, we quietly threw him overboard, and, you know, we're responsive to you. And then on the UBS thing, what can happen is Wolf can continue, as I suspect he is, doing bundling of campaigns. campaign contributions from Obama, but they can say, we are investigating UBS, and B, if somebody brings him up, which, by the way, nobody but us, whowhatwhy.com, if you read the New York Times, which has done articles about these issues, but they never mention him or his relationship with Obama, which, of course, to us, this is a key part of the story.
Right.
Is that they'll say he's not at the bank anymore.
Well, it's an amazing thing that they don't seem to care about those people who seem to transfer from one administration to the other, who have these fundamental positions that are part of the structure that's caused the entire economic collapse. And people just don't pay enough attention. And I'm talking people. I'm talking about the New York Times. I'm talking about major newspapers. They don't seem to pay attention to all of those connections. There's another story, though, that doesn't have to do with banking, but it's also a big shocker, and it has to do with General Wesley Clark, and it actually happened, he was making a speech in 2007, I think?
Yeah, what happened was we were alerted to a speech that General Wesley Clark, the former commander of NATO, well-known particularly from the Kosovo campaign, and also, of course, as presidential candidate, he had given a speech here in San Francisco at the Commonwealth Club, and somehow this thing was entirely missed by the news, which is very common, by the way. A lot of
I'm going to interrupt you again because I'm going to take a break, and because I want people to hold on to hear what Wesley Clark actually said at the Commonwealth Club. So hang on with me, and we'll do that as soon as we return. Russ Baker is my guest. His website is whowhatwhy.com. I'm Pat Thurston, and you're listening to KGO. Ferrano and today, and Russ Baker is my guest. You can read Russ Baker's site at whowhatwhy.com. Also, his book, Family of Secrets. You don't want to miss that book. If you haven't read it, please do. It reads like a fiction, but it is actually incredibly well documented. Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years. Is that the right subtitle now? Because I know you changed it, Russ.
It is. That's what we put on the paperback edition, which, by the way, is really becoming a bestseller and a kind of a sleeper bestseller. As you know, got blocked by a lot of the major media shows, but
yeah,
it has really done well, and they've just gone back for the umpteenth printing of the paperback edition.
All right. We're talking about General Wesley Clark. What did he say at the Commonwealth Club?
Right. So in a speech in 2007, he said that right after 9/11, he had visited the Pentagon. And while he was at the Pentagon, somebody from the Joint Chiefs staff pulled him aside and said, "General, I think you ought to know we've been given a memo. And this memo says that we are going to be using the 9/11 attacks as justification to launch seven invasions of seven countries over 5 months." Over 5 years, excuse me.
And what countries were they, Russ?
They're just off the top of my head, Sudan, Somalia, Libya, Iraq, Iran, and Syria. And what's very interesting about this is they said that they had a plan, and that he asked this staff officer what was the reason. He said that he wasn't sure, and he later came back and said apparently they think there's a window to knock out all of the countries that they perceived as being somewhat connected to the old Soviet Union in any form, that they had a few years before another superpower would arise, and they wanted to rush and do that. We don't know that's the real reason. One of the most interesting things about General Clark is that he declares that this country actually underwent a coup d'etat of sorts in 2011. He calls it a policy coup, and he says that the people who formulated all of these invasions and things that are still playing out with Obama in power is a group that was not elected.
Who are they?
Well, I don't know the names, and I don't know that he articulated them, but I think they're names we know of, but these are people that we didn't elect. It's Richard Pearl and Wolfowitz and some of the folks associated with Cheney. I think that, as it was reported, I mean, Bush was basically largely AWOL. I mean, he was out on the treadmill, and these guys were running the country.
Yeah, like the PNAC people is what it sounds like. So this, I want to point out to people that if they go to your website at whowhatwhy.com, you've actually got the video of Wesley Clark speaking. So this is not you just interpreting what he has to say. You can hear his very own words as he talks about it. And I guess one of the most frustrating things is that we think when a new president comes in, there are going to be new ideas, especially as concerns foreign policy. But you look at this list here, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. And then you consider the policies of the Obama administration. There is not a hair's breadth of difference, is there, Russ?
There really isn't, and I think this is illustrative of the fact that the presidency itself is captive of people that we don't elect, largely extractive industries that go into these countries seeking oil and other natural resources, and that this is just a kind of a permanent, you know, the subtitle of my book, Family of Secrets, you know, the invisible government, this kind of permanent interest that managed to sway the policy no matter who we vote for.
Russ, it has been delightful to talk with you again. Thanks for being with us this morning. And again, I would recommend people to go to the website. It is whowhatwhy.com. Thank you so much, Russ.
Thank you, Pat. And